Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, Darren Bunch out there in California, and we are so excited. Our Emergency Nines are among our favorite podcasts because we really get to go soul diving into the souls of our guests. And in this case, the guest is a special one, the director of Tommy's Honor, among other things, in a great career. Jason Connery will join us shortly for his Emergency Nine. Darren, are you excited or what?
I am excited. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of answers we can get out of Jason for the places he's been and the things he's seen in the world of golf.
You say get out of Jason. It's like some kind of torture that we're going to perform. It's not going to be that way, Jason, I promise. We're glad you found us on golfnewsnet.com, on iTunes, podcasts, on Audio Boom and Stitcher. Darren, you can find on social media at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram, and me on both of those at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, just because I decide to spell it that way. And as I said, we have had a lot of guests here, but I don't know that there's been anyone that at the moment certainly is more connected to the game of golf and what it means to all of us than our guest, Jason Connery. As I said, the director of Tommy's Honor, just a truly great film about the life and times of old and young Tom Morris, and so much more. There's so much in that movie that we can learn. The winner of the British Academy Scotland Award for Best Feature Film, a great acting resume, a directing resume before this. And we're going to get to find out all about Jason's love of the game. You can find Tommy's Honor online, and I highly suggest you find out as much as you can in addition to seeing it. Tommy'sHonor.com, that's honor with a U. You can connect with Jason on Twitter at JasonJasonJCon, J-C-O-N at the end of it. Jason, welcome back. We had you on earlier to talk about Tommy's Honor. Let's find out a little more about your world of golf, and we're just thrilled and grateful that you're with us today.
Well, it's lovely to be here and lovely to talk to you before about the film, and obviously something that's very dear to me. Yes, this emergency. I'm interested to hear how this plays out.
All right, well, let's play it out. Let's start with the first question, which is your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's when people ask me about music, and they say, "What's your favorite song?" or they say, "What's your favorite film?" And I think I have a sort of emotional response, and depending on feeling, and if my game is good, obviously, then that always helps. But I'd have to say, of course, the old course at St Andrews. I have played there with my dad many times, there's a bed and breakfast place which is right off the 18th at the top, and I'm going to forget the name of the lady, but I always remember lying in bed, and my dad was next door, and I was sharing a room with my brother, and we would hear this little voice say, "Hello, Mr. Connery, what would you like for breakfast today?" And we'd always say, "Oh, we'd like the your famous fry up." And we go down, and honestly, it's the biggest meal you've ever seen in your life, which would set you up for a perfect day out on the links. And if it was rain or shine or wind or whatever, once you'd had that breakfast, you felt as though you could go out there and face the elements. So that possibly is, for me, one of the great destinations and also rounds, you know, to play for sure.
I don't think you'd get any argument from most of our listeners, and certainly from us. It's kind of funny you mentioned your dad, Sean Connery. I've traveled quite a bit over the years with the famed golf writer and author Malcolm Campbell, and he tells some great stories about playing against your father in the club matches there at the old course, and it's very entertaining. So I've heard about your dad's golf game for many years, I think it's funny that you mentioned, you know, playing the old course with him. Certainly as a father and son, that's got to be really something special.
Yes, and I know that I think the games that they used to play against each other and was called the Jubilee Vase. I think that was it. And there's another man, a friend of my dad's, called Michael Medwin, and they, you know, used to buddy up and play in the doubles game there. And I there were many a story and many a fun night after the story too. So, but on for me. Playing the old course, the only real experience that I've had where I felt that kind of, I don't know, it's something to do with with how open the course is, and the front nine of Kiawah Island was pretty cool in that way too, with the expanse and the sea on the side there, and I was very lucky to play with my brother. And it was meant to be closed for the week that we were going up there. And then they decided to open it and nobody knew. And we'd already booked. And so suddenly we were the only people there. So we got to play for a whole week, literally on an empty course. And I remember thinking, wow, striding up this fairway has a feel a bit like St. Andrews. But it wasn't quite St. Andrews.
Well, that takes us to question number two. And I mean, that in itself sounds like a bucket list activity for a lot of people. What's at the top of your golf travel bucket list? Where is that place that you haven't been that you think about, boy, I really need to get there?
Well, you know, it's actually a country. I've played all over the world, and I've never played in New Zealand. And I've had many friends who have talked about having played in New Zealand, and that there's some courses that, you know, depending on which island you're on and depending on, you know, there's such diversity there as far as what the courses are like. And I'd love to, I mean, it's a heck of a flight, but I'd love to try that. I think there's probably not that many courses, but I know that the ones that are there are quite spectacular. So I would love to, I'd love to fly to New Zealand and do a bucket stop, you know, five or six courses there. That would be something I would love to do.
Well, I think we've had a lot of guests do the Emergency Nine, and based on the response that you just gave and so many others have given, I think we just have to charter a huge jet and gather all the people we've had on and all of us get there together. I think that would be fun.
I think to do a golf trip with a whole load of, whole group, I think it's so much fun.
Let's get to the third question on your Emergency Nine. You've said you've traveled all over the world. You've played all over the world. If we narrowed it down and said, what's the best place you've ever stayed? What would that be?
Well, I mean, it sounds, when we spoke earlier, I referenced the fact that, over the course of growing up, for at least 10 years in a row, I had 10 days with my family to play at. Well, Glen Eagles was certainly the one that stood out for me. Glen Eagles was up there in Scotland. My father played in the pro celebrity golf there, and there were a myriad of wonderful professionals who would come and play in these matches. And I was lucky enough to meet Johnny Miller and Sergio Ballesteros and just so many, Tom Watson, and it was a wonderful 10 days. And I just remembered that the hotel, there was a Big John was the head doorman, and every year we'd arrive there, and it was like arriving home, and we'd have this great room, and the food was spectacular, and at that time it was actually owned by British Rail. And so we would always take the train up, and they'd have someone to take us to the hotel, and it was just wide eyed wonderment to be there for those 10 days. And I, as I say, the food was spectacular, smoked salmon and apple pie and great steaks. And then of course, you know, there's four and I think maybe now five courses there. So It was just a wonderful. I think I slightly over romanticize it, because I remember it being sunny every day, and we were in Scotland. There's no chance that was the case. So, but I have to say that was a spectacular hotel to stay in.
Well, it's definitely an extraordinary property. And you mentioned the food there, that which leads us into question number four. What is the single best thing you have ever eaten on a golf trip and where?
2 years ago, I went and played at with my brother at in Scotland, up in Dornoch. And I have no idea who cooked this, and I don't even know what I would call it other than a stew, which sounds very simple, I love to cook. And we went to this little restaurant, and again, I'm not being very helpful because I can't remember the name of it. It was one of those ones which was just, we walked out the door, walked down, and there it was. Maybe one of your listeners can remember what it is, because there's not many there. And we had this extraordinary stew, and I remember the lady coming out of the kitchen, and because we asked her to come and she said that it was a recipe that had been passed down through three generations, and that there was no way that she was going to let us know what it was, but that you had to actually cook it before you put any of the meat in. You had to cook it for 2 days in preparation. And it was the most extraordinary meal I think I've ever had. And we had thirds and fourths, and she was very happy. And so we did have a great time.
I know how we can find out. Do you know Lauren Rubenstein, the great Canadian golf writer?
No, I don't.
Okay, we're going to teach you something else. Like I said, you've taught us so much. Lauren Rubenstein is a Hall of Fame golf writer who spent a lot of time in Dornoch, and he wrote a book, which you'd love, called Season in Dornoch. And probably, I would dare say, has had the same stew and eaten it a number of times. So I'll get in touch with Lauren. I'm going to find out where that is for you.
Oh, yeah, that would be. And I've written the name down, so I shall look him up.
Okay. All right, your fifth question in the Emergency Nine. I have a feeling that Darren and I know what the answer might be, given everything you've talked about relative to Tommy's honor and the kind of person that you certainly seem to be. What's the most important thing next to golf to you on a trip?
Well, I think the people. You know, I love people. I always have, and I've always been interested in people's lives. And I found that in my life, very often people have told me about their lives, I always find that people have had fascinating things happen to them, and because it's their life, very often they don't think that it is, and we're also diverse in our experiences. And I find it on a golf course, especially when you're walking, which I like to do on the course rather than ride a cart. Obviously there are carts, courses that you have to ride a cart in, and sometimes you can have great time with your partner in the cart as well. But I think that when you play golf and you're walking the course, I love to talk to people about their lives. And you know, obviously after you get off the course and things, usually, especially on a trip, you end up eating meals together and everything. And I think for me, it's that social side of playing golf and hanging out with people for an extended period of time.
Jason, spoken like a true actor and director.
Well, I think, you know, I'd love to have had a golfing trip with Tom and Tommy, because I do think that they would have had some tales to tell for sure.
Okay, so moving on, let's go to question number six. What's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment that you would recommend to everyone?
Well, it depends where you're playing. You know, if there's a lot of water about and you are playing a bit like I have been lately, then you probably want one of those things that can fetch balls out of water. A good question. What piece of golf apparel? Well, I mean, I mean, are you talking about outside of golf clubs? Because obviously they would be, I mean, some people probably play better without them. Certainly I've had rounds where I wish I didn't, you know, have my golf clubs with me.
We're open to anything. You know, a lot of times on this question, you know, people throw all kinds of things at us, everything from rain gloves to certain types of golf clubs that they like to the types of shoes that they like to wear to you name it.
Well, I mean, I would say, I was going to say, if you're playing in Scotland, I would definitely bring waterproofs. I mean, it's quite funny. When I was in Southern California about to fly over to do the location scout, I suddenly realized I didn't have any waterproofs. And I went to golfing stores in California, and they didn't have any. And the ones that they did have were sort of, you know, not fully waterproof. If you walk into any golf store in Europe, there are a myriad of wet weather gear outfits. I would also say a comfortable pair of shoes. There's nothing worse than being out on the golf course and finding yourself in a pair of shoes that that aren't comfortable. So those are the waterproofs and the comfy shoes are definitely two things I would always pack for sure.
All right. Good answer. I think a lot of us would agree with you. Let's move on. We're going to kind of combine our seventh and eighth questions because they can sometimes go together. You talk about playing now, and I know you've been a little bit busy over the last, let's say, 5 years with Tommy's on it. But what's your handicap now? What yardage do you like to play from? And who do you like to play with? Who's your favorite golfing partner and why?
Well, I look at my handicap a little bit like my career, because if my career is good, my handicap's usually pretty bad. And if my career's in a bad way, then usually my golf's pretty good or my handicap's pretty good. because what I do, very often getting out and playing is kind of tough. My handicap at the moment is 12. The best I've been is 8, and the worst I've been is... Well, probably, I don't know. Probably way up there.
You don't have to say.
Yeah, exactly. And what do you mean by what yardage do I play from?
I mean, do you enjoy? Do you say I'm going to get the biggest challenge? I'm going all the way back. Or are you okay playing the forward tees? Do you like to experience a course, especially one that you know from different tee boxes, just to experience it differently?
Oh, I've got you. Right. Yeah, I'd like to play from different. I mean, my father lives in Bahamas now, and there's a beautiful course there. I mean, there's Albany, which is a nice course, but my father lives in right near the course in Lyford Key, which is a great course. And I mean, for me, it's one of those things where I do like to go from sometimes the forward tees, depending on the weather and also who I'm playing with. I mean, usually it's to do with the other people. If everybody wants to, I like to play from the same tee as everyone else because I feel like it makes for a better game. So if everybody wants to go from the blue, which is slightly further back, as in the case of Lyford Key, or if I'm playing with higher handicaps or older people, then perhaps I'll pay off the white, the front tees. The other day I played in Isleworth, in Florida, and I don't know if you know that course, but the second hole is a par 3, and you have to play through the trees over water. I mean, it's the most ridiculous hole. And we went to the forward tees, and then the people I were playing with said, "Come on, let's go back to the back tees." And we went, and they were telling me that the pros hit it, you know, they don't even see the water, obviously, but they hit it over the tree. And bring it in from either side, which, you know, it's extraordinary when you play with real players who are real golfers. I mean, real, you know, professional golfers, and they look at the course in a totally different way. But I think I'm probably one of those people. I would say about that, I would like to play from the tees that the people I'm playing with play from, and certainly. The person I really enjoy playing with is my brother. My brother Stefan and I both play. We're always about 1 point off each other's handicap. Either he's a little bit better or I'm a little better, but we always go down to the wire. He's a great guy to play with because he's got a really a really nice demeanor about playing. He doesn't get overly upset. I certainly went through a stage when I was younger where I used to get really upset, and now I just realize that, you know, nobody owes you a good shot, and you know, there's everyone can hit bad ones, and I certainly hit as much as anybody else. So I try not to get myself too overwrought by it. But he's a great guy to play with, and we have some titanic matches, and at the end we're still friends and love each other. So that's the most important thing.
I guess that is the most important thing. Mitch and I, when we have our matches, we don't always still love and appreciate each other at the end.
Oh, that's not true, Darren. That's not true.
I will say that the handicap system is, I think, the almost the only system that works in any sport. Because if you're playing to your handicap and I'm playing to my handicap and we have very different handicaps, you can still have a fantastic game. And I think that that is so different from other. I mean, in tennis, I don't know what you do. Do you play, you know, with your hand tied behind your back if you're a much better player than the other player, or do you hop on one foot, or do you, you know, do you give them 3 points? You know, you give them 30 love up on every game. But the handicap system, obviously, if you're not a bandit, I love that, because I can have a really good game with someone who's either much better or much worse than me, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay, we've come to the end. Question number 9, what is the one golf course you wish everyone knew about?
Well, you know, that's a tough one, because, you know, all of the great golf courses of the world, probably everybody does know about. I did play, I did play down in near San Diego, when I was living in California, and of course I'm going to forget the name of the town because it's a very small town, but the golf course is called the Goat Track, and it's a wonderful course, and there's a man called John Ashworth, and he has been working on this course, and he's got such a wonderful demeanor about it. It's only a 9-hole course.
It's called Goat Hill Park.
Goat Hill Park in Oceanside.
Yeah.
So you know about it?
We won. Yes. Yes, we do.
Oh, my word. How do you know about it?
Well, it's gotten a lot of press here. Matt Janelle is a big champion of it on the Golf Channel and Golf Advisor. But Goat Hill Park and certainly John Ashworth have gotten a lot of press for the work that he's done in bringing it back. And it's becoming a favorite place for a lot of people to play. So it's getting a lot of publicity.
Well, I played it, and I just thought that the way he was going about it and the fun that he was having with it, and I really thought that it was a great... I've been to some courses where I've not felt particularly welcome in some ways of I just felt it was very stuffy and people were not as open as they could be. Not often, but it has happened. And I just think John, the way John sets up the course and the way he's going about it, has just got a very nice demeanor, and I feel like it's the kind of course that anyone could go and have a game and enjoy the game for what it is, you know.
That is a great answer, Jason. As I said, a lot of people are finding out about it, but the fact that you think it's a course that everybody should know about, I think, says a lot, and your comments do too. We have reached the end of the emergency 9. I feel like I could add about another 18 to this emergency, but we'll keep it at 9 for the time being. We thank you for your answers, for your time, for your passion in the game. Darren, any parting words for our guest?
Oh, I think everybody needs to go out and see the movie for one thing. And it's a great experience, especially if you're one of these people. If you're somebody who loves the game of golf and you love the history of the game, but it's also, you know, it's a great family drama. It's a tale of class warfare in a way. And Tommy's Honor is just, it's a fun movie to watch.
And you can find it, of course, tommyshonor.com, H-O-N-O-U-R. And you can connect with our guest, Jason Connery, on Twitter, at Jason, Jason, J-Con. That's J-C-O-N at the end. And Jason, as I said, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of an incredibly busy schedule, and for good reason, because Tommy's Honor is one of those experiences that both Darren and I hope everybody will share with those important to him. Thank you so much for being with us on the show.
Well, thank you so much, Mitch, and to you, Darren, also for your kind words about the film. And, you know, as we said in the last one, I'm letting the baby go. I'm letting my teenager go, and I'm hoping that that people enjoy the film and certainly have a lovely time with it, as I did making it.
Well, I don't think you'll have any worries about this particular teenager just going out and spreading joy and a lot of love and passion for the game. So I wouldn't worry if I were you. As always, thanks to our listeners. We couldn't do it without you. Hit us up on Twitter, Darren at Getaways Golf, me at Mitch Lawrence. You can use the hashtags Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, or our favorite, of course, hashtag Two Haggis Bags. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. You can get our attention. Share us with your friends on social media. All we're trying to do is spread the word about the best in golf travel and the greatest game. Thanks again to Jason Connery. Darren, I'll see you down the road. Talk to you soon. And all of you out there, go ahead and just like Jason did, run down your dream. Take it away, Tom Petty. We'll talk to you soon. So long.